Lord.
Previously in Aphon Kiss, written and read by Alice Dale, Craig, Pamela and Pippa and David spent the night in the Anderson shelter, and Pippa told them of her little romance with her ballroom dancing partner. David suggested teaching as a future career for Craig. Meantime, David's wife, Gloria, and her boss, Major Marsden, drove to London, checked into an hotel, and that evening arrived at the talk of the town.
Inside the nightclub, they were greeted by the maitre d'.
Welcome, Major, to talk of the town.
And they were shown to a ringside table.
How did he know you were a major when you're not in uniform? She asked as they were seated.
I'm ashamed to admit it, but I used my rank to get this booking.
With a huge grin, she said, William? May I call you William tonight?
You can hardly call me sir all evening dressed like that. People might think you're a high-class call girl. You look rather gorgeous, by the way.
Now she felt she had him hooked.
Champagne, sir?
Said a voice behind them as he deposited the bottle in a freestanding bucket full of ice, while adroitly producing two glasses which he placed before them with a coaster under each.
Shall I pour, sir?
Yes, please.
The Major said, still gazing into the eyes of his beautiful companion. Gloria was totally impressed with his sang-froid and being so completely at ease in a situation so different and slightly intimidating for her. She wondered if she was managing to carry off her contrived sophistication, even having tried to smooth out her Scots accent. Unaware, it had become a weird mixture of Scots, English and American. William, she said, how can I ever thank you for always treating me like an equal these last 2 years?
You'll find a way when we get back to the hotel.
He grinned. Then,
cheers!
They clinked glasses with eyes fixed on each other and drank as the orchestra started playing A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square.
Care to dance?
Would I ever? I haven't danced since my wedding.
Wouldn't you know, he's a perfect dancer too. Dancing cheek to cheek, she wondered if he was getting the thrill she was, or was he too sophisticated for that? The evening had been perfect in every way, and Gloria said so as she reclined in her boss's arms in the taxi returning to the hotel. When can we do this again? She asked.
That depends.
On what?
It's a military secret, I'm afraid.
She sat up abruptly and turned to face him. You're not being sent overseas, are you?
Same answer. Now relax. The evening's not over yet.
And he silenced her with a long, loving kiss, his tongue exploring her mouth. She was totally captivated. Their lovemaking next morning was as exciting as the night before and totally fulfilling. Falling back in the bed, Gloria lay expelling a long, slow breath while William reached for the cigarettes on the bedside table. He lit two and passed one to her. Sitting up together, they smoked silently for a few moments. Then he said,
"So, how was that?"
"It was sensational. I think I'm in love." There was no reply. "How did you feel, William?"
Pretty good."
"Is that all? Pretty good? I think I deserve more than that, darling."
"I don't believe in pretending. You're a fantastic lover, Gloria. But I don't use the word love unless I mean it. And love is something that takes time. It doesn't happen after one encounter."
She was totally offended. "Is that all it was? How long will it take before you know?" she said, stubbing out her cigarette, throwing off the covers, stepping onto the floor and grabbing her negligee from the chair, tying the satin belt with furious anger.
"Wow, you're irresistible when you're angry. Come on, come back to bed."
"You want more uninhibited sex, do you?" she said with contempt.
"Why not? That's what we're here for, isn't it?"
"That's what you're here for, obviously." Catching a breath, she walked over to the coffee table and helped herself to another cigarette and the Ronson table lighter, both supplied by the management. She sat on the couch beside the table with her back to him. She knew that bursting into tears would put the kibosh on everything. It would also give away that this was her first affair and she wasn't a woman of the world. Had she really believed he would fall in love with her? She had to admit that's where her hopes had been last night. Now she felt like the village maiden in one of her favourite historical romances, seduced by the worldly Earl of the castle. How could she have been so stupid? She knew she had to deal with this as the sophisticated woman she'd been trying to convey. She rose and sidled over to the bed, where she sat on the edge beside him and stubbed out her cigarette. "Okay," she said in a light-hearted voice, throwing off her peignoir. "Move over." And she slid in beside him. By now, he was certain she was not the worldly sophisticate she was pretending to be, and in fact was experiencing her first affair. For one second, he almost felt a pang of conscience. Gently, he pulled her into bed. There was no question of resistance as this handsome man covered her mouth with his own, moving gradually to her neck and then her breasts. Her climax seemed to escalate each time they made love. A knock on the door and breakfast arrived on a trolley. Both were ravenously hungry, and although rationing had reduced the hotel's pre-war breakfasts, they enjoyed the croissants and Danish baked on the premises.
"More coffee?"
William offered. "Yes, please," holding out her cup.
"Now, what would you like to do today? Or rather, is there anything you haven't done before in London?"
"I've only been once before as a teenager with my parents. We were passing through on our way via Southampton to Dinar and a holiday in France. I'll never forget that holiday. Daddy hired a car and took us to Saint-Malo. I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. Approaching by road, it looked like a huge fairy tale castle."
"And you as the princess inside."
He smiled indulgently. "Something like that. What a naive teenager I must have been."
"Perhaps that's what you expected from marriage, to be treated like a princess."
"I wasn't that daft, but I thought getting away from home and strict parents would open up a more exciting life. How wrong could I be? Dull, dull, dull."
"Even at the beginning, well, you must have been in love to marry him."
"At first, yes. And discovering sex was wonderful."
"You mean you were a virgin?"
he asked wide-eyed. "Don't sound so surprised. I was only 19 when we married. I was too scared to try before that. I knew my parents would kick me out if I'd got pregnant."
"David can't have been all that dull if he taught you all you know about sex,"
he said with raised eyebrows. Leaning across the trolley, knowing that showed her cleavage, she said,
I've just learned that from you, silly.
In that case, you're a fast learner. Okay, that's enough, or we'll start all over again and your day in London will have vanished. We need to leave the city not later than 7 p.m. So, back to my question. Is there anything you'd particularly like to do?
Her leer made him add.
Apart from that.
She stood up. I'd love to see the British Museum.
Great. I haven't been there for years. Now, hurry along and get dressed.
Thank you.